The Great Slave by Zane Grey. A voice on the wind whispered to Sienna the prophecy of his birth. A chief is born to save the vanishing tribe of crows, a hunter to his starving people. While he listened, at his feet swept swift waters, the rushing, green-white, thundering Athabasca, spirit-forsaken river, and it rumbled his name and murmured his fate. Sienna, Sienna, his bride will rise from a wind kiss on the flowers in the moonlight. A new land calls to the last of the crows. Northward, where the wild goose ends its flight, Sienna will father a great people. So Sienna, a hunter of the leafy trails, dreamed his dreams. And at 16, he was the hope of the remnant of a once powerful tribe, a stripling chief, beautiful as a bronzed autumn god, silent, proud, forever listening to voices on the wind. To Sienna, the lore of the woodland came as flight comes to the strong-winged wild fowl. The secrets of the forest were his, and of the rocks and rivers. He knew how to find the nests of the plover, to call the loon, to net the heron and spear the fish. He understood the language of the whispering pines. Where the deer came down to drink, and the caribou browsed on moss, and the white rabbit nibbled in the grass, and the bear dug in the logs for grubs, all these he learned. And also when the black flies drove the moose into the water, and when the honk of the geese meant the approach of the north wind. He lived in the woods with his bow, his net, and his spear. The trees were his brothers. The loon laughed for his happiness. The wolf mourned for his sadness. The bold crag above the river, old Stoneface, heard his step when he climbed there in the twilight. He communed with the stern god of his ancestors and watched the flashing northern lights and listened. From all four corners came his spirit guides with steps of destiny on his trail. On all the four winds breathed voices whispering of his future. Loudest of all called the Athabasca, god-forsaken river, murmuring of the bride born of a wind kiss on the flowers in the moonlight. On all the four winds breathed voices whispering of his future. It was autumn, with the flame of leaf fading, the haze rolling out of the hollows, the lull yielding to moan of coming wind. All the signs of a severe winter were in the hulls of the nuts, in the fur of the foxes, in the flight of waterfowl. Sienna was spearfishing for winter store. None so keen of sight as Sienna, so swift of arm. And as he was the hope, so he alone was the provider for the starving tribe. Sienna stood to his knees in a brook where it flowed over its gravelly bed into the Athabasca. Poised high was his wooden spear. It glinted downward, swift as a shaft of sunlight through the leaves. Then Sienna lifted a quivering whitefish and tossed it upon the bank where his mother Emma, with other women of the tribe, sun-dried the fish upon a rock. Again and again, many times flashed the spear. The young chief seldom missed his aim. Early frosts on the uplands had driven the fish down to deeper water, and as they came darting over the bright pebbles, Sienna called them by name. The oldest squaw could not remember such a run of fish. Emma sang the praises of her son. The other women ceased the hunger chant of the tribe